This is Jason Marsden, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass here, and you've made the great escape into comics by jumping inside the pull bag today.
Yo, Joe!
Welcome to another Comic Review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I'm joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello, hello.
So we are here to talk not just one, but two comics today, and they are going to be Duke number 4 and Cobra Commander number 4. First up, Duke number 4 by Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, Jordi Belair, and Russ Wooten. Forgot you last time, Russ. I just made sure I added your name this time. So. From ImageComics.com, the quick synopsis. Duke is close to discovering the truth about the alien robots that have landed on Earth. But who or what is Mars? And my quick rundown. So we open with Blood and his men. Yes, Blood, not Bud. Blood and his men continuing their assault on the pit from the last issue. Baroness and Duke form a truce, and the Joes head down deeper into the pit to find a war machine storage area. As Blood returns to the surface after having been shot in the face, a door opens from the ground, revealing the Joes, now in their war machines, heading towards their attackers, who decide to retreat. The Baroness escapes in a fang, while Duke heads out in a jet towards the mountain location on the device he previously carried. Working for Destro, Scrap Iron field tests some new weaponry from Mars and takes out Duke's jet, which crashes into the mountainside. Somehow surviving, Duke makes it into the mountain base, where he comes face-to-face with a robotic soldier. We close with Duke being held in the air by robotic claw from the soldier he encounters. So your thoughts and review of Duke number 4.
Well, you calling it a robotic soldier with a claw, my first thought was,
next time, Gadget.
I did think of that, but...
By far, out of the 4 so far, this is my favorite. I like the character setup in the other 3, but... this is what we've been waiting for as far as the action and the story. Like the all of issue 3 up until the end, it's like, okay, we're going to get this. We're going to get that. Fine. And then we finally get the whole jailbreak at the midway point to the end of 3. And now we're in the thick of it of they're escaping Baroness and Duke truce, like you said, and just all the action. This is action issue. So which means next issue, who knows how they're going to close this off. But no, this is great. And I love the art in this. I have always loved the art in these comics. But man, this issue, it's just so good.
See, I was kind of surprised that you said that. Not necessarily the art itself, but the use of color, or I would say lack thereof. Because you had just recently mentioned that you're not a big fan of the Marvel Transformer comics from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I think even like the G2 from like the early 90s because of like the lack of color. And there's just like so much lack of color in this issue.
Are you crazy? I mean, I know I'm legally blind here, but come on. Okay, so you got the desert type color stuff as they're escaping. You got like the oranges and the reds and the whatever. And then they do the whites of where the vehicles are, and then we go back to more orange and red. They go back to where the jet and the tanks are. You get all this action stuff here, and yes, it is technically one color, but it is a good use of color because you have the background being red and orange, and when the jet flies off, obviously it has to be a white background with an orange sun because the jet's black, and that makes more sense than having the orange sky and a black jet and a white sun. And then we get to the point where it's the radar stuff, and it's... I'm glad you said mountains, because for half a second there in my prednisone whacked out state because of abnormal back issues, I thought the damn jet was underwater for half a second, referencing Atlantis Arise from Generation 1, Season 2. And then I'm like, oh, right, it's going to crash into a mountain. And then we get the black. No, man, look, there's a way to use 5 colors well right now. 40 years ago, not so much.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think the color usage here is bad or anything, but I do think there's like several pages, more specifically like the orange pages, okay, where it's like, it's just like orange and there's some grays in there and mm-hmm. some blacks and not a whole lot of much of anything else.
Okay, so I'm going to zoom in on a couple of panels here. So the I think it's the page where the jet flies off. So it's page 12, location 12 out of 30 on Amazon Kindle Comics here. I always want to call it Comixology because that's
what call it Comixology
before it was what it is. But that page where she kicks out and she says, "Thank you for the escape. Hope I never see you again." Yes, you are absolutely 100% correct. The sky with the orange, but the character, like, oh, what's his name? The dude with the beard that looks like my Uncle Robert. Oh, fuck, what's his name? Anyway, but where he says, "That's enough coverage. You're clear for a takeoff, good buddy." Like, because it's an orange background and because they kind of want you to think desert and whatever else, he's in these, like, it's not tan, it's not beige, it's more of like a greenish-grayish type of thing. So those colors match to me. I think really where it doesn't is that middle panel when we see Duke in the jet.
Yeah.
Because the jet itself, even though I know the jet's not orange, because they want the color to kind of blend on that part of the panel. And then you see the two of them saluting each other and all that. And then that's at the bottom. We get the white with the black and the orange. I kind of see your point, but I liked it. I don't need what I need to pop for color in comics. If you're just doing a scene like this, where we see a helicopter flying off and we see a jet flying off, I need the character's color to pop and the background to be, I don't want to say a static image, but it just needs to exist. The background is not the focus here. The focus here is the action of the escape.
Yeah, I'd say 2 pages after that. So as okay. Duke is like flying towards the mountain, right? You said the colors right. pop on the character. Like we don't actually get that there, though. He sort of just sort of blends in the background.
Well, right. You mean the blue page?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's still flying into the location there. He's not like, I'm pretty sure we don't see a close-up. Oh, we see the top right panel. We see a close-up on him on the inside of the jet. But that to me is more of a...
Two panels notice, down as well.
Yeah, yeah. But that to me is, hey, don't focus on... Yeah, focus on Duke's face, but focus on the word balloon. Again, for me, there's a huge difference in how... I guess how I personally read comics, I read it for the story first, and then I go back a second time and really appreciate the art. So as I was reading this for the story, I was looking at the word balloons first on those two specific panels. Gotcha. But in between all that, you have the top left, the middle right. So after he says his second thing, and then the bottom where they're looking at him through their scope and whatever else. So everything else on that page outside of his two characters, we know what Duke looks like. We don't need a full, like, I mean, even now I can count, like, I don't know, 20 whiskers on his face.
Well,
let's
be honest. We know what Duke like it looks like. I'm still questioning whether or not the artist here knows what Duke looks like.
Well, okay, but artist interpretation, except like, yeah, it's not gonna be like it's not gonna be, you know, clean shit. And again, he's been in prison. I mean, yes, they give razors and whatever else in prison, but whatever. But the point is that it's a slightly different look for Duke. He's out on the run. He's not so worried, even though he's obviously full military, and I'm not taking anything away from that. When you're supposedly a deserter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're not really worried about having a clean shave. So no. It's okay that he needs – I mean, hell, I got to go get a haircut next week half the time. My hair is like – I'm legally blind. My hair is hanging halfway down into my eyes. I got more bangs than Madonna did in the 80s.
So I think this issue here is pretty monochromatic in like several instances, but then like if you go to the first page, so just shortly where I think it's a page right after the one we were just talking about, so after the blue page,
mm-hmm. Yep,
where we see scrap iron there, then it just kind of like goes back to like what I would expect a normal colored panel to be, right? Mm-hmm. So it's less monochromatic there. So I'm just calling it out because I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I guess in terms, good. I was just going to say, in terms of the overall issue, I think you were pretty dead on with it. This is probably one of the most action-oriented issues we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Which I think, again, I'm always wanting to see something advance here in these comics. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it really advanced the story all that much. We can talk a little bit more about that when we talk about Duke 5 next time.
Yeah.
But, I think it was a good, I think we're definitely moving here towards the conclusion of the series.
Well, you have issues 1, 2, and 3 that are pretty much the setup, and I don't remember off the top of my head which ones of those three. Like, I know the first one kind of had a mix of both action and story. The second one might have been more action. The third one was a little bit more story, etc., because you have them in if you're in prison, unless you're going to do a prison riot every other page, there's not much, you know, because, and we have the surprise of the Baroness, etc., etc., etc. So I like how they've set this up, and I like how they have, even though there were parts of the other three issues that we didn't like, now that we're here at this penultimate issue of, oh my gosh, what is next? Are we actually going to see, and we'll probably see Megatron either in Cobra Commander or whatever. But the point is, I'm excited now because it's like, okay, we've gotten past the point of all of the Duke being on the run because of whatever and meeting up with whomever. And we've got all the setup out of the way. So now I'm not expecting full on explosive action from the start of issue 5, but this is a damn good action issue with some story that it basically, again, like I've said in other episodes that we've done, you need a mix of both story and action. And this has most of the action. And the only time it really has parts of the story is when Duke or other characters are saying things to advance the action. Yeah. And that's okay in my mind. I would probably buy this comic again in a physical form if I was doing that, et cetera, because I really like this. And I was like, at the end, I was like, oh, crap. He's in trouble.
So speaking of the end there on, I guess, again, location 20 of 30, mm-hmm. You had mentioned, maybe we'll see Megatron show up in Cobra Commander. That very first panel here on this page, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is Megatron, right? Because it's like an outline that looks like a face. And then you're like, you go down one, it's like, oh, no, it's not his face at all.
That's not Megatron.
So I guess, how did you like the issue ending on this sort of cliffhanger?
This is good. This again, it's a penultimate. We know that these are 5-issue miniseries.
Yep.
And we know that not, like I said, the first three are for all of them, not just this, but for Cobra Commander, Duke, probably when we get to Scarlet and Destro and everybody else, the first three issues are probably going to be mostly set up, obviously. There's probably going to be a little bit of action, et cetera, but that to me makes a good comic. And this, like, I was like, where the hell's, like, after I read this, when it came out last month, this one anniversary, whenever the hell Duke number 4 came, I don't care, I'm not looking at it, whatever. But this is what I like at the end here, where it's like, okay, you've got my attention. Like, let's see how this is going to end. And then let's see with what we've already said about how, about the miniseries and whatever, and if they're eventually going to do a full-on G.I. Joe ongoing at some point, etc. I'm very interested to see where Duke will end and where Skybound is going to put his character, because that's my interest now as we get to the close of this is where the G.I. Joe character is going to go after we do their specific character miniseries.
Well, I'm really looking forward to talking with you about issue number 5 then.
Yeah, I haven't read that one yet as of this recording, but I will soon.
So before diving into Cobra Commander, I did want to comment. I know we keep doing this, but I want to comment mm-hmm. in the letters section again, because I went back to a font color you can't read.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Went back to yellow on the white, and it's just like, nope. Not accessible at all. So
let me
got to keep doing better, Skybound.
I mean, really, if that's only the real major coup, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, so the replies. Again,
the only thing you care about is from the creative team.
But again, like, no, it is and it isn't. Like, I know you have this weird, you know, X-Files like conspiracy about, are these real people writing into this thing and all this and all that, but. Like, no, I want to be able to, like, yes, I can read Yo, Joe, when Oblivion Song ended. So Oblivion Song was, Oblivion Song is another comic series. But anyway, yeah, it needs to all be legible. It needs to all be readable. It needs, like, again, like I mentioned last time, don't use yellow on white, like we just said. But also, you know, you can have white on black. Just make the, so instead of where Mr. Brian Hands says in, and they did this, I don't think Brian did this in his letter, but they bolded the black. Shout out to Jordy. She's worked color magic across this miniseries. That's all bold and black. Okay, how about maybe, I don't know, just... find a color palette that works. If black, gray, yellow on white don't work, then use a different background. I mean, hell, I've said this before with how the, like, you can do the yellow background with all black. Because if you look at the very back of the panel, you look at the very back of the book, caution, the contents of this booklet are confidential. The caution is in bold black letters. And so is the rest of it, but you could use the unbolded black on that yellow. So do that, or it's not horrible, but it's not good either. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, they just need to figure out what's going to work, and they need to stop doing shit that isn't going to work, or that people can't read, because you're a bigger person, bigger, God, I can't, can't talk. You are a big person about accessibility, as am I, because I am legally blind. And as you said in one of the, I'm legally sighted and I can't read this stuff. So they just need to figure out something and stick with it. Don't change it every issue.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly not trying at this point, is what So, I mean, look, you commented, right? So one of the replies is in bold. That one is from Sean, and I don't know who Sean is, because not part of the creative team here that I can see. And then the other one is from Joshua Williamson, and that's the one you can't read.
Yeah.
That's the one that's in the yellow, the piss yellow or whatever here. So gold, I guess. So yeah, so just wanted to comment on that again. I know people are probably tired of hearing that. So, all right. I guess anything else on Duke?
No, I'm looking forward to the finale and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to you about that.
Oh, no. So, see, this is the thing, folks. Like I said, I haven't read it. He has. Because my thing is, I read these for enjoyment, but I don't just read them to enjoy them. I read them to enjoy them, to have the enjoyment of these discussions on podcasts. I've been doing this for 11 years. And if I read it before, like a week before recording or a month, I'm like, oh, crap. I won't remember it.
At this point, I'm so invested into these, because I've told you before, right? I had subscribed to the series on Amazon, and for whatever reason, they don't download, like, at 12:01 a.m., they should be downloading to my device, and they don't do that. So, like, when I wake up in the morning at 6 a.m., they should be on there. They're not. So I unsubscribed, and I just purchased them on a weekly basis when they come out, or monthly basis when they come out.
Yeah, that's an Amazon thing, I think.
But I'm at the point now, so I'm so invested in these that I'm not even waiting to read it on my iPad where I can see the entire page. I'm just reading it from my phone, like one panel at a time. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
well, and again, like I've said before, and I, you know, that's the wonderful thing about, even though we're doing this on I'm doing it on my Google Pixel 6 Pro, you're doing it on whatever iDevice you have, whichever one it is. That's the greatest thing about the guided view technology. That's always been the greatest thing about the guided view technology, is because it takes your phone and turns your phone into a slideshow of panels. Like, I'm just not even really reading Cobra Commander right now, because I know we're going to get to it, but like, I'm just thumbing through all this in guided view, and it's pulling my eye to where it wants my eye in the book to be. Whereas if I had this as a single issue in my physical hand, in my a physical single issue in my hand, like I would have to have my eyes adjust to the top left, read that, go to the middle to read that text. And I mean, I can still admire the page, but that's why I love the digital with the guided view, because it points me in the direction they want the story to be told.
It's like a watching a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Storyboard.
Like one frame, yep. One frame per scene.
But it works because, and that's what works so well. It's worked so well for however the hell many years that they've had it. And it makes, for me, the guided view technology makes my comic reading experience more enjoyable because I get more out of it than just staring at a page in a physical book.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Cobra Commander?
Sure.
All right, so moving on to Cobra Commander number 4, again by Joshua Williamson, Andrea Milana, Annalisa Leone, and Russ Wooten. Shout out to Russ. Woo! Mm-hmm. The quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. The Energon universe is in danger. Uh-oh. Cobra Commander has found a new ally, willing or not, that may just make him unstoppable. Unless, of course, someone is one step ahead of him. What do you think that might be?
Yeah.
My quick rundown. So we open with Cobra Commander wiping the silly ass blood smile from his mask as seen in the last issue, being led to a hatch in the ground by one of the dreadnoughts. After opening the hatch and climbing down, Cobra Commander comes face to face with a scientist who's been locked away to work on Energon. The Enforcer continues his bloodbath assault on the remaining dreadnoughts while the scientist explains that he was locked away to produce more Energon, but that production is impossible. Instead, he figured out how to expand it by diluting it with other forms of energy into Energon cubes. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to call them Energon cubes. For a demonstration, a table of robotic insects are supercharged with a blast of Energon, and Cobra Commander is pleased with what he sees. Back on the surface, Cobra Commander is ready to return to Cobra Law, but Nemesis Enforcer reveals his true mission isn't to protect Cobra Commander, but to kill him. The two break out into a fight that ends when the robotic insects in the lab transform into a glove for Cobra Commander that blasts and kills Nemesis Enforcer. We end with Cobra Commander asking the remaining Dreadnought who they intended to sell the Energon to, who responds with the name Destro.
Mm-hmm.
So, your thoughts and review of Cobra Commander number 4.
Okay, so, do we ever get a name for this prisoner doctor dude? Does he ever say his name in here?
I do not see a name anywhere in here, no. Okay.
They may, if they really wanted to get us with this, they missed a huge opportunity.
Dr. Bud.
No.
No. Okay.
Dr. Archiville. They could have used Dr. Archiville as this guy.
Would have been a nice fan wank, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not always out to get the fan wanks and all that, but like that would have been really cool. No, seriously, like if you know, you could do that, but whatever. But yeah, no, again, just like Duke number 4, I love this. I think this is cool. I love seeing the Energon being made. I love that we are getting to the point of finally figuring out what the ultimate mission is for Cobra Commander. I'm glad that Nemesis Enforcer is gone because that character was a little wacky, like T-Bob mask kind of wacky. He's violent, but yeah, no. But I like the fight between them. Again, the art is like the fight between them with the blue background, with the yellow and the whatever, with the shock effects and all. That's good use of color and change and everything else. As far as the story goes, again, we are far advancing to this, and we are getting to the point of the, you know, the end and all that and whatever. And again, good cliffhanger, because we haven't really had Cobra Commander and we haven't had them meet yet, to my knowledge, as far as I know. So he's on this mission to find all this out. And so for issue 5, for Cobra Commander, that's when Cobra and Destro are most likely going to meet, obviously, and we'll see what happens there. But just like Duke number four, this is like, okay, we are on the road. We are on the road and we are in a path of figuring out what in the hell is next. We got all the mystery out of the way. We got all the spontaneity. Wow. That's not the word I was looking for. We get all the stuff with, him having Megatron done. We get the Energon cubes and all that. And again, just like Duke number four, I love the way most of the background colors are here. They lend themselves to the point of being good for the matching action around them, which is really interesting because that's always a good thing. But no, I really enjoyed it.
See, I think the colors in this one pop a hell of a lot more than they did in Duke.
Yeah. Well, because the action here is brighter than what was.
Yeah. Before. Yeah. So I think the last time we talked about Duke and Cobra Commander, I think I said that I was pretty much done with Cobra Commander and that I was of the two. I much prefer Duke. This one kind of came around back to Cobra Commander after reading this particular issue. I'm glad, like you said, they did away with the Nemesis Enforcer guy. I still don't know what this thing is, what he is, how he was able to mutate into what he became. Don't know if we'll get any sort of answer to how that happened, but yeah. I like the introduction of the doctor here, or the scientist guy, and kind of seeing what he's doing with Energon. So knowing that this character has a lot of experience now working with Energon, I'm almost willing to bet that he's going to pop up again.
Probably.
Whether it's in the Cobra Commander series, right? Again, we've got one more. He may pop up in Destro or Scarlet. Or I wouldn't even be opposed to seeing him like pop up in Transformers if that happens to, that actually happens to come to fruition.
Yeah.
But like I think, like you said, it was sort of a missed opportunity not to call him Dr. Archiville. Maybe his name's actually still Dr. Archiville. We just haven't been introduced to him yet.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I think between the two, between Duke and Cobra Commander, this one was probably my favorite of the two. Mm-hmm. I feel like this one actually had a little bit more action to it than Duke, although I feel they're both pretty action heavy.
They're both pretty action heavy, but it's a different style of action. So in Duke, throughout Duke, you've kind of like had this desert motif. You've had this sun and sand and tan and beige and mauve and all this and all that and everything else. And in Cobra Commander, we've had most of the first three issues. He's in the jungle. He's doing this. He's doing that. And it's all this and all that. And the art and the colors and the way it's drawn and the way it's laid out is this is more of the action that I think you and I are kind of used to, the kind of action we love. Because this honestly reminds this issue specifically, Cobra Commander number four, I could see this being an episode of the old Sunbow cartoon series because of how, even though it's not like bright in the way of, oh my God, it's so bright I can't see, the colors are so different and they so match every scene, which is, you want to make sure all the colors match and you make sure everything's legible. It's very, very well done. And like I said, I like both of these on an equal playing field for different reasons, because I am matching them to the main characters that the stories are about, Duke and obviously Cobra Commander. And Cobra Commander, as I had said in, I think it was either the first issue or second issue, what I read leading up to the start of this series is they wanted this to be a horror story for the character of Cobra Commander, and it has been just that throughout this. And like I said, with this cliffhanger of Destro and Mars, the Mars Project and all this and all that, holy crap. But it was so good. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So with the cliffhanger in this one, we get to see Destro overlooking people working on the war machines here at Mars Industries. Yep. That's the very last page here in this issue. Do you actually think in the conclusion to this miniseries that the two are going to meet? Or do you think maybe that they'll save that until the end of the Destro miniseries?
If this was just it, if we didn't know that they were going to do a Destro, if there was not a Destro miniseries coming, I would have said, yes, we are going to see them meet in issue 5 of Cobra Commander. And again, I don't know because I haven't read it. Nobody has, obviously, at this point. Right. It's not out yet. But right. my point is that to answer your question, if it was just going to be this, yes, I would want to see them face off in issue 5 of Cobra Commander. But since we know that a Destro miniseries is coming, I assume we're going to get some sort of origin for Destro in at least the first maybe one or two. I don't want to say three, but one or two, maybe three issues of the 5-issue series. And then issue 4 and 5. Here's a, oh man, if they did it this way, and I don't know because whatever. Issues 1 and 2, potentially the first, let's just say the first 3 issues of Destro. Let's say it's all like very, each issue is a flashback of how he became who he is. And then by issue 4, we see his whole plan. And then issue 5 of his series is the two of them meeting and having whatever's going to happen. I don't know. There's a whole lot. And again, we don't know. We don't know what the creators are going to do with that series, but that's what I would like. If we are not going to see them meet up in the next issue, the finale issue of Cobra Commander, they got to meet at some point because it's Destro and Cobra Commander. Those two go together like peanut butter and jelly.
I can easily see them doing what you just described, or a combination of that plus, right? So I think we've seen Destro in every issue of Cobra Commander up to this point. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if he's in the first one. I'd have to go back and look. But I think at least from 2 up to this point, we've seen Destro in every issue where we get like maybe a page or two of mm-hmm. Cobra Commander showing up in the Destro miniseries. And then kind of like you said, them ultimately meeting up to kind of close out that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think certainly sooner or later it's going to happen. So
let's hope.
If not, it's going to be pretty shitty.
Yeah, it's not going to be shitty. It's just going to be a different story.
It's like, aha, we've been teasing you all this time. Yeah, so, all right. So anything else for Cobra Commander number 4?
No, I'm, like I said, with Duke, I almost called it Destro. Wow. With Duke, I'm ready to see where these stories end or where they cliffhang into whatever's next for these two characters. I'm, as this being my first real true foray into a ongoing G.I. Joe universe, because I've covered previous G.I. Joe titles over on the Pullbag, but I've never been into the G.I. Joe comics at all. And it's been 40-something years since I've seen the cartoon, even though I have all the DVDs in my DVD case in the other room. I'm loving this. Are there things I don't like about it? Yeah, sure. But there's nothing in either of these 8 issues, 4 for Duke and 4 for this, that have made me be like, no, I don't care. I don't want to continue. It takes a lot for me to get to a point in a comic. The comic has to do something just really, oh my God, unbelievably, I don't, make me not give a crap anymore. And so far, feel like I've nitpicked a bunch of stuff, but most of it I've really enjoyed because of it being my first foray into the universe. And I'm very interested to see where these characters end up and go in the future.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I've kind of hated both of these series going back and forth as each new issue comes out. But ultimately, I'm kind of happy where both of them are as we head into issue number 5. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested to see how these stories wrap up. And again, I've already read Duke number 5.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on that here.
No.
So I'll save that for the next episode. But so knowing how that ends, I want to see how Cobra Commander ends. And I'm hoping that it's satisfying.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the summary here for Cobra Commander number 5, it says miniseries finale, The Rise of Cobra Commander. To build an army, Cobra Commander makes a deal with a powerful ally that can't be trusted. Now that it's started, can the Cobra threat ever be stopped?
Well, then I assume that's That's going to be Destro.
Well, so one of the variant covers, it shows Cobra Commander, and then in the reflection of his, in the mirror of his face mask there, we see Destro's face.
Yeah.
If we don't get him in this next issue,
yeah,
it's going to be the ultimate tease here. Come on, Joshua Williamson.
Yeah. Duke number 5 of 5, the miniseries finale, codenamed G.I. Joe is here. Duke has been betrayed by his allies and hunted by new enemies. The time has come for Duke to start fighting for something bigger than his country, bigger than he ever could have imagined. Get ready for the last page shocker that no one will see coming. Okay, you know they're gonna
hold on put a second this
into
here.
A yes.
It says the last page. I'm going to the last page. I'm not going to spoil it, but I want to see if it's a shocker. Let's see. I got to go backwards here.
So as he's going backwards, I'm going to sit here and talk, folks. I can only assume that they are eventually, like we've been saying, going to go into a full G.I. Joe miniseries at some point, because I think once you do the character spotlights, that's the only place you can go. And if we did do that, you'd have G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Void Rivals, three series, individual of each other, but sometimes they can connect, obviously, because this is a new shared universe, etc., etc. So if we do get a new G.I. Joe title, I think where they've taken, at least so far, after reading the fourth issue of both Duke and Cobra Commander, I'd be really excited to see where a G.I. Joe ongoing in 2025 would be going.
Yeah. So I'm on the last page here, and I don't think it's a shocker.
Okay. So,
yeah, they're hyping it up too much, in my opinion, but I guess you got to sell the issue.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they make the money, man.
Yep. All right. Anything else for closing thoughts here?
No, I'm excited to get to number 5s and see where the finales lead us.
When did we say Cobra Commander was coming out? That is,
I didn't. It's
May 22nd.
May 22nd.
So the end of next month.
Yep.
So, I feel like that's when did number 4 come out? It's been a bit, right?
Hold on. Number 4 was April 17th. So, yeah, it's about 30 days away, or give or take a few. Whatever, May 22nd to April 17th. So, again, if you're looking at these as single series, mini-series, a trajectory of January 17th, February 21st, March 20th, April 17th, May 22nd, it's all kind of in lining of being a 30, every 30 days almost, you're getting a new issue. Because it's a monthly thing for the miniseries. So, and then June 19th of 2024, we will get the collected edition for Cobra Commander trade paperback.
So this is actually what I was thinking of here. So not that. I pulled up something else. So Void Rivals number 9 comes out the same time. This has been pushed back.
Yeah.
Comes out the same day, May 22nd.
Okay.
So really we just have the next Transformers issue to look forward to till the end of May. Is that right?
Probably. For anyone interested, the Duke trade paperback, June 5th, 2024. So that's when the Duke trade is coming out. Let me look for the Transformers, yada, yada, yada. And then yada, yada, yada. Galvatron did this because Galvatron is Megatron and blah, 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 blah. Transformers, what are we up to on that?
It's going to be number 8. That's May 8th.
May 8th. Okay.
So we have to wait for Void Rivals and Cobra Commander.
Yeah, May 8th, June 12th is Transformers 9, July 10th. Okay. And then Void Rivals is... Yeah, so... But again, it's in line with... Like I said, if you look at them all as individual series from each other, because they're all in their own production trajectory. Like, we can't expect all of these series to be produced all at once, even though they are all produced by different people.
Right, but Void Rivals number 8 came out on April 3rd, so that's like almost 2 months.
Yeah, let me.
I mean, not quite 2 months. It's like a month and a half.
Yeah. Void Rivals Volume 1 released February. Wow, really? Oh, that's the Volume 1. Yeah, April 3rd for 8th, May 22nd for 9, June 20. So, yeah, that's a little bit of an extra, a little time lengthy thing between 8 and 9. But it's not bad because you got, again, they want to be able to pace themselves on these releases. And because they're doing 3 or 4 or 5, like between the two G.I. Joe books, Transformers, that's 4 series. So between 4 series, you need to divvy all that up because you need to give the readers time to ingest and digest and Unicron the hell out of these comics and whatever. So the timing is fine, I think. I don't – just like when you kind of had an issue with Void Rivals taking a break at the end of last year, so Transformers and whatever could – what it's all part of the comic timeout thing to make sure that the readers aren't – we don't want to be overloaded so much. Like, comics is a vast world of having – like, if we were comparing this to every other – release that I read or that you read or that anyone read, it's like, holy crap. Like, you know, I would go into the comic book store when I was doing physical books 11 years ago. You got Batman, Nightwing, Batgirl, Superman. You got like 5, 6, 7 damn different comics all out in the same day and roughly about the same time the next, you know, 30 days later in the next new month, you're going to have all those next issues for those. So I think this is fine. If we were only reading Void Rivals, and it was a little bit, you know, like we said, April 3rd to May 22nd, if we felt that that was a little bit too, like, that the anticipation on that would be great, but we have all of this stuff together. So I think it's okay. I don't have an issue with the timing on any of the series releases.
All right. I just found it odd that we got to wait, Rick, because really all we're getting is, we've already got Duke, and that's this month. And really all we're getting until the end of next month is going to be Transformers number 8, so...
Well, that's okay, because, you know, Unicron needs time to digest his consumption here.
I guess, yeah. All right, so plugs. What do you got for plugs?
Over on the Geekcast Radio Network, geekcastradio.com, we've got Transformers 1 and Done. We've got Steve and I did a Why So Serious Cult Brands and You, stuff like Apple and all that, that just, you know, they get you locked into their system and they never want you to get out of it. The Pull Bag, I don't know if I mentioned this on air or not, but I have this insane ambition and I'm planning on, I think I did mention this earlier in the episode, 150 episodes before the end of the year. So that'll get us to 700 overall in 11 years. We are doing Studio 2009, episode 82 at some point. I don't know what that's going to be, but that's going to happen sometime soon. But yeah, geekcastradio.com. We've got 15 years of content, folks, over 4,000 published episodes. Because I'm a machine.
It's a lot of episodes.
Yep, I'm a machine.
Yep. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Plugs from my end. You can find this podcast on anothercomicreview.com. If you're, depending on how you're listening to this, right, if you're getting it from some podcasting software somewhere, or some podcast index, be sure to like and leave us a review if you could. I realize we don't have like an email address for people to leave comments so we can talk about them or ask us questions, but we do have an Instagram account. You can find us on Instagram at Another Comic Review. So you can hit us up there if you want. Maybe it'd be advantageous to get an email address so people could comment and send.
I mean, you know, sure. I don't know. Like, I don't know how many in 11 years and over 4,000 episodes, I've gotten some emails in 11 years, but, or 15 years overall, but I wrote up a blog post the other, a couple of years ago. Is email truly dead as a communication form? And I went through this whole reasoning why in the social media world that between Twitter DMs and Facebook Messenger and Google chats and what, like, do I mean, yes, emails are needed for verification, for identification, for blah, 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 and then whatever else. But like, I don't remember the last time I had an email chain specifically for it's great, you know, for listeners that want to write in, and we've had several people write into feedback at geekcastradio.com over the years, but I want to say I've had in 15 years, 16 years of podcasting, maybe 250 emails or less, I think. I don't know.
We always used to get them on TFWire, mm-hmm. so I was always happy answering questions. So.
No, I'm always happy answering questions. I just think the form and the way the questions are asked is different now than it was all those years ago. Like, again, just the concept of email has changed so much. And like you just said, they can message you on Instagram, or they can find us on Blue Sky or Twitter or wherever. You know, all that. So I just think the landscape of the listener communication has changed.
Yeah, so. Maybe. you can also find me on YouTube. I'm at youtube.com/matrix_prime. And you can find me on Blue Sky at Jesse, J-E-S-E-S. I can't say my name. At J-E-S-S-E, early E-A-R-L-E-Y. And before we sign off, I want to give a shout out to Belgium. Woo! Population of Belgium is 11.5 million. Just imagine if we had all of you as listeners.
And in the morning, I'm making waffles.
I love me some waffles.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's it for this episode. So up next, we will have Transformers number 8. Maybe Ryan will join us for that. We'll see. Till next time, this is Jesse signing off.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullback. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Power! Autobots! Transform!